This is a Yahoo Finance All Market Summit Extra, Crypto in 2022, presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. The opportunities for crypto investors are increasing by the day. New ways to trade, new places to invest, and the new innovations to follow. Over the next hour, we'll hear from crypto trailblazers. What are they watching? And what is the biggest story for crypto in the months ahead? We'll also examine some of the best new ideas around cryptocurrency investing. And what about the feds? We're tracking the latest developments in Washington, from new taxes to new regulations. Join us now for a very special Yahoo Finance All Market Summit Extra, Crypto in 2022, presented by Intuit TurboTax Live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our special. I'm Brad Smith. It's great to have you with us.
And I'm Rochelle Akufo. And before we kick things off, we want to take a look at how the markets closed today. Closing bell just ringing now. All three indices in the red. At one point, the Dow was down close to 700 points. It clawed back some gains, though, but still a tough down day for all three major indices. All right, now let's turn to our special with one of the biggest names in crypto, FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, as he's also known. Thank you for joining us. So a $32 billion market valuation in 3 years, and that's despite bear market worries and still expanding then with crossovers into gaming and more. How did this rise happen so quickly, and which sectors are providing the most interesting opportunities for collaboration or perhaps disruption going forward?
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, I think that it's obviously a testament to the team that we have, and everyone who's been working hard on this. I think the biggest things that we were targeting when we started the company, I think still see as the big drivers of it are, you know, a combination of seeing a really compelling opportunity where the existing companies were not as strong as they could be and going for it. In terms of where we're looking, I think obviously, we're looking at gaming. We're looking at what's going to happen with NFTs there and seeing, you know, really big opportunities in the space, which we're excited about and, you know, excited to help be the back end, hopefully, for a lot of the whatever the metaverse ends up being.
Certainly. And $32 billion valuation, as Rochelle mentioned a moment ago. I mean, you've downplayed expectations for our rushed IPO. But after the consolidation that we've seen, especially in trading platforms a few years back, Morgan Stanley and E-Trade, Schwab and TD Ameritrade, do you anticipate that we're going to see tie-ups among crypto platforms considering the multitude of different end users that you service, as you mentioned a moment ago?
I do think so. And I think we've, in fact, already seen some of this. I think that we've already seen a number of smaller platforms start to be acquired by larger ones. We've acquired a couple ourselves, as have a few of the other big players in the space. And I think that I do just expect that trend to continue for exactly the reasons that you're citing.
I mean, and it's really incredible because obviously crypto has come such a long way from obscurity to then retail investors sort of jumping in and out and that causing wild swings, now to having these large institutional investors in there as well. Now, on CoinMarketCap, when you compare Bitcoin to the biggest companies and assets in the world, it's one spot above Berkshire Hathaway and one below Tesla. So how are these evolving types of investors then really shaping the market?
Yeah, you know, so far we've definitely seen institutions start to get involved in the space, but it's been much more of a trickle than a deluge so far. You know, we haven't seen sort of mass institutional inflows in the way that I think some people are anticipating. And I think a lot of the reason for that is that, first of all, these tend to be slow moving companies, right? Like these are just companies that are always going to be methodical about how they enter. But in addition to that, I think that there are a lot who are waiting for more regulatory clarity before they feel comfortable diving in. Those are, I think, the two biggest things that we're seeing, institutions on the lookout for in order for them to feel more comfortable, making sort of a bigger imprint in the space than they have so far.
Now, with the inflows and the volume growth that you've already seen, you've already been profitable. And then the target for 2021, that was $800 million in profits, from what we understand. Considering the early 2022 volatility, do you anticipate that FTX can reproduce or replicate the same level of profitability this year?
I'm optimistic that we'll be able to grow it. And obviously, I don't know for sure. You know, it depends on what happens in markets, but we had a large amount of growth over the course of 2021. We have continued growing. You know, we are, you know, our average sort of volume, you know, so far in this year has been greater than our average volume was in 2021. And there are a lot of large areas for growth that we're hoping for, you know, over the rest of the year, I think, especially as we see how the U.S. regulatory ecosystem ends up, unfolding.
Now, shifting gears, I want to talk about that Super Bowl ad, obviously, with comedian and well-known skeptic of everything, Larry David. Now, a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of people are still sort of on the fence, don't really know how to feel about crypto, even though we're this many years in. Now, in a statement, you said we need to meet people where they are, and that means embracing skepticism. A lot of people who are now the biggest advocates of crypto once had significant reservations. So with so many crypto ads and platforms out there, how did yours pay off then in terms of the interest generated, as well as new signups, people really trying to get more interested in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was huge in terms of the amount of interest that it generated. We got a lot of really positive feedback and reception from it, create a lot of buzz. And I think overall are pretty happy and excited with that. In terms of actual signups, you know, interestingly, that's not as much our target. Obviously we want signups and I won't be one to speak against them. But we've much more been thinking about how can we get our name out there so far than how can we maximize growth, over the next few months. There's a long game ahead of us here. And, given that, I think we're just a lot more concerned with where this could be going, in the long run and how we can build up, who we are as a brand rather than doing anything we can to get, as many registrations. One sort of data point relevant to that is I think our sort of, Twitter account grew by something like 50% in following over the course of the ad.
Wow, so certainly effective there. Now, in terms of long-term strategy, yep. I also want to talk some of these partnerships that you have with some of the most recognizable brands in the world, including Major League Baseball, the Miami Heat, Riot Games, as well as a number of celebrities and athletes, Tom Brady, his wife Gisele Bündchen, Steph Curry, Trevor Lawrence, David Ortiz, and even at the college level, UC Berkeley. How does hitting all these different demographics at once play into your long-term vision for the company?
Yeah, I mean, we think that crypto is an area that, is going to have appeal across a large number of different segments and demographics. And we want to be able to target, as many of them as possible and really reach out to as many people as we can. And so I think that's a big part of trying to, broaden out the base of who we're reaching, with our partnerships. And then the other thing is just, really, as always, trying to focus on which are the partnerships that we feel really good about, that we feel really good working with the partners on, and that we feel will really bring a lot to our company long-term.
FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, of course, known colloquially as SBF. Thanks so much for taking the time here with us today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And everyone, coming up, best strategies for trading crypto. We're going to be joined by Bitwise Asset Management Chief Investment Officer Matt Hogan. Stay with us.
Welcome back. I'm Emily McCormick, and you're watching Yahoo Finance's special Crypto in 2022, presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. And with us now, a true pioneer in the investment world, Bitwise Asset Management Chief Investment Officer, Matt Hogan. Matt, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. I want to ask first about the price action that we've been seeing in cryptocurrencies. Now, Bitcoin is below $40,000, Ethereum below $2,700. And this comes, of course, after a record run that we saw in these prices last year. But as a CIO, does this latest slide concern you?
It always is uncomfortable when the market goes down, but I think we're actually setting up for an extraordinarily strong second half of the year. Look, the current pullback is being driven by three things which are going to resolve. One, of course, is the broad market shift to a risk-off market that's pushing through all sorts of risk assets, of which crypto is one. I think we're most of the way there to adjusting to this new reality. The second piece is Biden's executive order on crypto, which is coming out this week. I think once we get past that, that'll be a relief. And then some tax-related selling. So I think there's short-term hurdles in front of us. But as I look at the underlying trends, I'm extremely bullish about where we end up by the end of this year.
And where do you think Bitcoin ends at the end of this year, if you have a certain price target in mind?
I'd love to put out a price target. I think we are going to go substantially higher. I wouldn't be surprised to see us challenge and even surpass the previous all-time highs, as long as things break along positive lines. Examples of what that would mean: if we get a Bitcoin ETF approved, if we see reasonable regulatory outcomes out of Washington, D.C., and if we, you know, get broader continued positive trends in terms of institutional adoption of crypto, I certainly think new all-time highs are in sight by the end of the year if we see those kind of things.
And in terms of the price action we've been seeing now, we have been seeing these major cryptos sell off alongside other risk assets like stocks recently. Two-part question here. What do you think has been driving this increased correlation? And then second of all, does this create challenges for Bitwise? Because if you want to create an ETF that can generate a return that potentially outperforms the market, and yet the holdings are moving similarly, at least directionally, to the broader market, does that impact the way that you think about your holdings?
Oh, I think that's such a great question. The thing about crypto, which investors are learning, is that crypto assets are driven by two factors. One, they are risk assets. So when you have a risk-off trend in the market, they can fall out of favor from a short-term perspective. There's also the crypto-specific drivers, right? Those sort of fundamental characteristics, which I spoke about earlier, institutional adoption, positive regulatory developments, technological advances. In short periods of time, that risk-off sentiment can overwhelm those secular trends. And that's what we're seeing right now. That's what we saw in March of 2020 when it sold off at the start of the pandemic. The important thing for investors to remember is that those long-term trends are exactly that. They're long-term trends and they're extremely powerful. So over meaningful periods of time, the correlation of crypto to other stocks and other risk assets is very low. It's just during these short risk-off periods that you can see this correlation bounce to one. The message for investors and what we emphasize at Bitwise is that means you need to hold for the long terms and even think about these pullbacks as opportunities to establish new positions.
And Bitcoin continues to be the dominant cryptocurrency by market cap, with the overall market value of cryptocurrencies hovering below $2 trillion currently. It's also the top holding in Bitwise's 10 crypto index fund. Do you expect Bitcoin to remain the leader in crypto, or when might another overtake it?
Oh, that's a great question. I think Bitcoin has a lock on the market for digital gold, a lock on the market for non-sovereign currency. I'd be very surprised to see another crypto asset overcome Bitcoin's lead. It's just too well suited for that particular market. I think what you're pointing to is we're seeing this Cambrian explosion of new applications of crypto, DeFi, Web3, the metaverse, NFTs, all of which are being built on non-Bitcoin blockchains, on the Ethereum blockchain, on the Solana blockchain, on other blockchains like that. Ultimately, I do think the addressable market captured by those more performant blockchains could arguably be bigger than Bitcoin. Will it get there this year? I don't know. Will it get there eventually? I wouldn't be surprised. We're extremely bullish on that all-purpose blockchain space, the layer one space, which is led by Ethereum.
And Bitwise has funds that offer exposure directly to baskets of crypto assets and also to crypto-related stocks. What do you think presents the bigger long-term investment opportunity? Is it investing in a crypto stock like a Coinbase, or is it a crypto asset directly like a Bitcoin?
You know, I love all my children equally. Look, we think crypto asset indexes that own Bitcoin, Ethereum, a diversified basket of crypto indexes, is a great way for many investors to access the market. In the long term, there is probably more opportunity in that space, more opportunity for those network protocols to grow really substantially. But crypto equities are a great way to play this market and really easy for investors. You can access ETFs by companies like Bitwise, the ticker BITQ, in your brokerage account. It holds traditional stocks. We're all still waiting for a spot Bitcoin ETF, and we're many years probably from an index-based Bitcoin ETF or crypto ETF. In the meantime, these crypto equities offer a nice way for everyday investors to gain exposure to the enormous growth we're seeing in the broad-based crypto ecosystem. So I think it just depends on what you're looking for, ease of access, or maybe, you know, the slightly larger, more volatile, but larger opportunity in crypto assets themselves.
And when we think about the long-term impact of greater institutional adoption of cryptocurrencies, the latest Bitwise survey of financial advisors' attitudes towards crypto assets found that 94% of advisors received questions from clients about crypto last year, up from 81% the year prior. How do you expect increased allocations to crypto in client accounts to impact the space overall?
Oh, it's a huge story. I mean, you just mentioned that crypto is about a $2 trillion asset class, which has been built largely on the backs of retail self-directed investors. But we know that that's a small fraction of the market. That's maybe 20% of the wealth market in the US. Financial advisors control another 40% of the market, and institutions control another 40% of the market. We're just at the earliest days of financial advisors moving into crypto, but I think they're going to move extremely rapidly. The percentage allocating in client accounts is growing by 50% or more each year, and that compounds aggressively over time. So if you look at the size of the market cap today, you look at that 40% of US wealth that still needs to move into that market, the potential impact on prices is very material, and it's starting to happen. It's happening at an accelerating rate. And I'm very excited for what that will mean.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Matt Hogan, Bitwise Asset Management Chief Investment Officer, thank you again so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
It's tax season, and the IRS wants its share of crypto. Up next, all the new rules and an easy way to do your tax return. Stick with us.
Welcome back to our special Crypto in 2022. Joining us now is one of the best people to talk about taxes and crypto, Chandan Lodha. He's a former project manager at Google working on search and Android, now the co-founder of CoinTracker. Chandan, great to see you.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first, I want to talk about changes. So what are some of the biggest changes for tax filers this year who traded crypto?
The big thing that we're seeing this year is a big explosion in complexity of different types of crypto use cases that people are using. So we've seen a massive rise in DeFi and NFTs, and of course, users using more and more cryptocurrency exchanges and wallets. And with the added complexity there, it becomes more and more difficult to comply with those crypto taxes. That's where software, like the software we work on at CoinTracker, can help users sort of seamlessly and accurately get those calculations done.
And we certainly know the IRS won't be pulling any punches. They want to make sure people are filing correctly. Are there any tax breaks or savings regarding crypto this year?
There absolutely are. The savvy investor can definitely take advantage of the tax code. So, for example, there's an opportunity to do cryptocurrency tax loss harvesting, essentially selling positions that are at an unrealized loss and then buying them back in order to realize those losses. And again, using tax software can help you identify those opportunities, especially when we're in a down market like we are for many users today.
Exactly. I mean, we're seeing a lot of cryptos were sort of down year to date, sort of really fluctuating with a lot of this macro news out of Ukraine and Russia. But for those people who just started trading crypto last year or perhaps didn't file, what can they expect from the IRS if they're not compliant and caught up this year, perhaps in terms of things like grace periods or penalties?
Well, unfortunately, the IRS doesn't have grace periods for cryptocurrency taxes because the rules have been out now for several years. The important thing that new people can do when they're getting into cryptocurrency is keep really good records of all of their transactions. And again, using tax software can help do that. The key thing to do is to do your best and try to be honest when reporting these capital gains and losses. And again, if you're at a loss, there's actually an opportunity to claim those losses and claim deductions. So it works to many users' advantages to actually go ahead and file those taxes.
Now, I want to talk about some of the subsections that you mentioned. You mentioned NFT sales, which obviously gained a lot of momentum over the past year and a half. But then you also have people who've been earning money from mining crypto. What do they need to be aware of?
Right. So for people who are mining crypto, you potentially have crypto income there. When you receive the fair market value of, let's say, mining Bitcoin, that's income, and that would be reported just like other types of income that you might have on your tax return as well. So again, it's important to keep good records of what are the addresses you used, which transactions occurred, which awards you earned from your mining, and keeping track of all of that in tax software can help make it a very seamless filing experience instead of, you know, pulling your hair out when it comes to tax filing time.
So then what are some of the biggest questions that you're hearing from your users at varying investment levels?
Right. Crypto taxes can be very complicated. Crypto itself is already, a bit of a complexity there. And add in the tax code, add in different coins, wallets, exchanges, transferring assets between different places. It can be really confusing to figure out how to accurately identify cost basis, how to claim losses, how to even keep track of all these gains and losses. So the biggest question we get from folks is how to even stay on top of crypto taxes to begin with. And my number one recommendation to everyone is to keep good records. Use exchanges and wallets that allow you to easily export your transaction history. Use good tax software to stay on top of your transactions year round. Don't wait until April 15th or tax day, April 18th, I believe it is this year, to start working on your taxes. Get all your records uploaded now, today, and so that by the time tax day rolls around, everything is sort of seamlessly uploaded and ready to go. And your accountant will thank you later as well.
You certainly don't want to wait until the panic sets in. Now, I want to shift gears and talk about some of these crypto-friendly hubs. You have states like Colorado hoping to accept tax payments in crypto by the end of this summer. So what are the complications that come with that? And what's the likelihood that the IRS will accept crypto as payment?
It's great to see that various local jurisdictions becoming more crypto friendly, like the ones that you mentioned. I'm not sure I would hold my breath for the IRS accepting crypto payments for taxes anytime soon, but we can hope and we'll keep our eyes out for that. The key thing to remember there is when you dispose of crypto, even for paying taxes, that is a disposition event. And in the eyes of the IRS, that would be a capital gain or a capital loss that is incurred there. So even if you're paying your taxes, it's still a disposition of property, and that's still an event that you would have to keep track of and realize a gain or loss on that transaction.
And as you mentioned, even explaining cryptocurrency is difficult enough, let alone then your tax filings. But what about the filing process for those who manage holdings in overseas crypto exchanges? How is that process different?
If you're holding crypto outside of the US, you're still going to be subject to US tax filing rules. So you're still going to have the same capital gains and capital losses that you would if you were holding your crypto on a US-based exchange. The difference is that there might be some additional IRS filing requirements or other government filing requirements for assets held in foreign accounts. So for example, cryptocurrency holders who have substantial holdings, often in sort of the 50,000 plus range, might be subject to FATCA filing requirements, which are basically disclosures to the government, but not additional taxes.
Now, just quickly, I want to highlight this. You're now tracking 3% of the entire global crypto market cap on CoinTracker. What sort of insights is that giving you about where perhaps investment is headed and perhaps the industry?
That's right. Yeah, over $50 billion of crypto assets are now synced to CoinTracker on a daily basis. And the beauty of that is it helps us and our product team have a more informed view of where cryptocurrency users are coming online, what types of use cases are becoming more and more popular. And some of the things that we've really noticed take off in a big way in 2021 and now heading into 2022 are in the realms of decentralized finance, DeFi, and NFTs. And those are both areas that we're planning on investing a lot more effort in to make the tax tracking, the portfolio tracking, and the user experience a lot better.
Well, thank you so much. There you go. People, no excuses now. It's starting early when it comes to filing your taxes if you're trading crypto. Thank you so much. Chandan Lota there, co-founder of CoinTracker. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Still ahead, the next generation of crypto entrepreneurs. Cordell Broaddus joins us, and he'll tell us about the pitch he made to his father, Snoop Dogg, that kicked off a very profitable new family business. This Yahoo Finance All Markets Summit special, Crypto in 2020.
Welcome back to this Yahoo Finance special on crypto in 2022, presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. I'm Jennifer Schonberger. Cordell Brodus, son of rapper and businessman Snoop Dogg, is making his mark on the crypto sphere, helping to shape the future of NFTs and crypto gaming. He is the inspiration and drive behind Snoop Dogg's foray into the metaverse and crypto, and he joins me now to discuss the future of crypto, as well as his latest ventures. Cordell, welcome to the program. It's great to have you.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, Jennifer. I really appreciate this.
It's great to have you. So tell me, to get the conversation started, how did you decide to get involved with crypto, and how did you get your dad to buy in?
So I was introduced to crypto in 2017 by Nipsey Hussle. I had told him that I was making X amount of money per month. And he told me, he was like, invest in cryptocurrency and buy real estate. And I didn't listen to him right away. And, you know, once the market crashed in 2018, I thought it was an opportunity for me to buy in. And that's when, like, you know, me and, you know, Nick Adler and the rest of our team, we kind of like put our heads towards going into crypto, going into NFTs and building the Snoop brand in the metaverse.
And how did you get your dad to buy in? Did you go to him and say, hey, dad, you know, I've gotten involved with crypto. Here's how it works. Here's why you should get in.
He's more of a show me, don't tell me guy. So I had to show him what we could do in this space. And our first deal was presented by crypto.com, and it made 7 figures. And then that's when we kind of got his attention, and he started to see, like, you know, the NFT hype was real.
I know you've released a series of NFT projects that have been successful. You're consulting for Sandbox and MoonPay. Tell me, what are some applications you see now that we haven't seen quite yet as far as NFTs are concerned in the gaming space as well as the entertainment industry? How are you looking to shape that?
I think there's a lot of cool opportunities to get in, but there's also a lot of, you know, not so good projects. You just got to be wary of that and keep your head on the swivel, because like any industry, there's going to be a lot of good and there's going to be a lot of bad. And if you just follow those blue chip projects like the Sandbox, you know, Bored Apes, the CryptoPunks, the Gala Games, the World of Women, I think once you immerse yourself in those communities, then you'll be directed to those cool projects that's going to last long.
How do you see crypto shaping gaming?
I think everything is like essential, like everything's complementary, and this whole space is cross-pollinated. So, you know, the gaming is complemented by the music, which is complemented by the fashion, because you could dress your avatar. And I just see it being somewhere where people can socially connect with others and also gain financial wealth.
You've, as we mentioned, released a series of NFT projects. You're consulting for a couple of companies here. What are the newest projects that you're working on? And are you involving your dad in any of them?
Yes, my dad is actually my client. So it's so amazing to work with him, you know, and he actually gets to follow my lead for once.
And where do you see NFT applications going in 2022? This seems like a very fast evolving space, and certainly one that's going gangbusters.
I think it's going to be even bigger. You know, last year, every day there was 50,000 wallets created. And I think this year it may even double or triple. And, you know, the more people that we onboard, the bigger the community, the bigger the stake, and everybody can just reap the benefits.
Let's talk about the metaverse, Cordell. How do you see the concept of the metaverse evolving? What is the market opportunity there? And how do you see NFTs being applied?
I think NFTs is just the entry point. I think the metaverse is going to be where we spend most of our times. Because, you know, just like when the internet came around, everybody was scared that the internet would take away time from their families, from their friends. But, you know, in actuality, it brought people closer because, you know, you're able to connect with people thousands of miles away and keep relationships open.
You mentioned your dad is one of your clients, and I know you've been the inspiration behind getting him involved in crypto, in helping to create Snoopverse, which is now on Sandbox. How are you steering that now? How do you see that evolving? Certainly, we've seen virtual real estate go for hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions in certain cases.
Well, you know, real estate was the first entry point for our sandbox deal. And now, secondly, we have our 10,000 avatar collection dropping February 22nd. And lastly, we'll be entering into the concert realm with the metaverse and having my father perform and, you know, other special acts, and just, you know, giving the community something that's missing.
I wonder, to your point, you guys could leverage, you know, as artists, the metaverse platform or other platforms to try to reach younger individuals who are interested in the music side and then may kind of translate over to the crypto side.
I mean, you know, and not even just to speak about music, we can speak about art. Like Nick Smoll is a 13-year-old NFT artist, and his collection dropped last month and he made over $200,000. And that's life-changing, you know, empowering women artists in the space and empowering just, you know, creatives all over, what have you. And I actually told my dad this. I said, this space kind of feels like the birth of hip hop, like how everybody was just, you know, mingling with each other and just freestyling and making beats and everything was just fun and new. It's kind of like the same with NFTs and in the crypto space, but you don't have to have, you know, that big chain. You don't have to have that fast car. You don't have to be a tough guy. So I think it's just a fair playing ground for everybody to reach success.
All right. Well, Cordell, thank you so much for your insight. It sounds like you're working on some exciting projects. We wish you the best of luck. Keep us posted and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Up next, the regulators go after crypto. We'll have the latest from Washington on what the feds are doing now. Stay with us.
Welcome back to our special Crypto in 2022, presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. The feds are cracking down on crypto. My next guest knows all about it, having spent over 25 years in top roles in regulation and enforcement. She helped prosecute some of the biggest Wall Street cases and even consulted on the Leonardo DiCaprio film, The Wolf of Wall Street. Alma Angadi is currently with the consulting firm Guidehouse, and she joins us now. Alma, great to have you here with us today. In crypto regulation, first and foremost, many people are just wondering, what's the biggest red flag that prompts an investigation?
So it depends on what kind of investigation you're talking about. If it's fraudulent crypto, and there have been a lot of scams that the SEC and others have brought where companies are saying, we're developing this cryptocurrency, this token, and there isn't one, right? It's just all a fraud. There is also the issues of using crypto for criminal proceeds. So you have the one of the biggest issues that the government's grappling with now is ransomware. Many hackers want ransomware paid in crypto. Now, because of the special mitigants, you can trace the transactions. Cryptocurrency exchanges can identify those transactions that were paid in ransomware. So it kind of depends on what you're looking at. Almost any bad thing that you can do with fiat currency, you can do with crypto. So it's going to be all of those same crimes.
And so we know the ethos that has really prompted and developed decentralized finance. How is oversight also navigating this space as well and evolving along with the space?
So that is a really good question. So the regulators typically, and I think correctly, go a little slow at the beginning of new technology advancements in financial services because they don't want to overreact and cut off financial innovation. But at the same time, once these innovations become popular, they have to worry about how they are affecting consumers. That's the fraud piece, you know, and the consumer protection piece, how they can be used for financial crime and fraud and sanctions. That's the middle piece. And how could it disrupt the global financial system or the US financial system? That's a lot of the discussion about stable coins. How could it affect the broader financial system? So that's where they are now. It's a broad acceptance of different kinds of cryptocurrencies and NFTs and DeFi and platforms. And the regulators now are trying to get a handle on how best to regulate all of those different iterations of technology on the blockchain.
Certainly. A fortuitous time for us to be having this conversation. We know President Biden is expected to sign an executive order this week. It's anticipated to require government agencies, such as the Department of Treasury, State, Homeland Security, Justice as well, to study crypto and also central bank digital currencies, which has been a hot topic of contention as well. And they're going to be prompted to come up with some type of strategy in their own regulation of digital assets. So do you believe that there will be a large-scale form of crypto regulation that will come forward in 2022 versus what we've seen to this point being the piecemeal precedent that has resulted in mostly fines as of right now?
So I think the crypto ecosystem hopes there will be, because there is a lot of uncertainty in the market as to what you can, what products and services you can provide, who regulates you, and how you can control those safely. So I think they're hoping that there will be some certainty, whether it's one big new crypto agency, which would surprise me, or some sort of rules of the road among the agencies, kind of like we do with banking and money, right? The SEC regulates if you buy stock with money. The CFTC regulates if you buy derivatives with money. Banks are regulated by the banking regulators if they hold money for you and make loans. So, you know, it might well be something like that, but just with clearer rules of the road.
I have to hustle to my finish here, but 93% of seized assets during the 2021 IRS fiscal year, it was crypto, $3.5 billion worth. So how much in gains do people stand to lose if their filings are incorrect?
Well, I think a lot of those seizures were criminal proceeds, not IRS money owed. And so, you know, but it, because it is so traceable, and if they know your wallet address, they know you had it, kind of like your bank account records, it would be easy to tell if you're not paying taxes on that cryptocurrency gain that you made. So Always a good idea to pay what you owe.
And just lastly, since you mentioned that the majority, the lion's share of it really was criminal proceeds, how advanced at this point is tracking money laundering attempts, even across NFT assets too?
Oh, it's very advanced. There are several cryptocurrency blockchain analytics companies. There was just an article, a report by the Chainalysis, one of the blockchain analytics companies, talking about how they could see wash trading in NFTs, just like you used to see with stock, people passing it back and forth to give the appearance of volume and increase in price. Then you sell it to someone else and you split the proceeds or make the money. So it's actually quite sophisticated. And that's a whole topic for another day. It's very interesting.
Certainly. And you mentioned that it's unlikely that we'll see some type of large kind of crypto task force necessarily that's kind of put together this year. But what would that timeline look like, especially as you mentioned that the space is clamoring for this so that there are guidelines and boundaries to know how to move forward?
Well, I think you'll see a task force. I don't think you'll see a separate whole new agency this. And I could be wrong, but it seems like that's a heavy lift to do when there are agencies that are equipped to regulate aspects of this. So I think they'll sit down, they'll figure out who needs to regulate what, and hopefully get some nice solid guidance out there to the industry so that everybody knows how to proceed safely.
Amma Angadi of Guidehouse, the consulting firm, joining us here today. Amma, we appreciate the time and thank you so much for the insights and context. And everyone coming up.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Everyone coming up. Crypto's next big thing with Ava Labs President John Wu. Stay with us.
Welcome back. Our next guest is building the next big thing in crypto. We're joined now by Ava Labs President John Wu. John, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Crypto has come a long way over the past several years, and past year especially. Give us a quick snapshot of where we are now in this space and how Ava Labs and Avalanche are helping solve the current challenges at this stage in the industry's development.
Happy to. And it's good to see you again. So I think what is really great about Ava Labs and Avalanche is it has the ability to attract both crypto native products and projects as well as developers, as well as traditional enterprises and financial services firms. So what's happening is you get an inflow of developers from both sides of the aisle, if you will, and they're all looking for ways to deploy on open permissionless blockchains and create utility.
And last year, we saw smart contract platforms like Ethereum and Solana broaden out. DAOs and NFTs really had a breakout year. What are your biggest predictions for crypto and DeFi this year?
So, yes, there was a lot of breakouts last year, but crypto is so new. Don't forget, some of the great things that happened last year are going to continue to happen this year. But in addition to all that, I think still the word DAO or the acronym DAO is still only a thing that most crypto native people are aware of. I think you're going to see more and more of this so that it becomes part of the nomenclature of a normal person. There are more and more DAOs popping up. You hear B2B, B2C, you're going to hear about B2DAO soon. Another thing I think is happening right now is continued inflow of Web2 type talent, whether that be a Google or Facebook engineer who wants to get into the blockchain crypto space, or be that banker from XYZ Wall Street Bank who's now interested in trying to create business development deals for a blockchain company. That inflow is going to continue to happen this year.
Well, and as you mentioned, a lot of exposure to the latest innovations in crypto and blockchain are still contained to those already in the space or just dipping their toes into the space. What do you think is going to be that project or the use case for crypto or blockchain that makes it a ubiquitous or perhaps even necessary part of people's everyday lives?
Well, everyone wants that one thing that's going to just turn it on and become the overnight success. But reality is still very evolutionary. We saw DeFi create a lot of interest, and now financial services firms are very interested in it. The NFTs create a lot of adoption. And right now, it's about gaming. Gaming companies and AAA publishers are looking for their Web3 strategies and talking to all the top players in this space. On top of that, you have brands. You've seen Nike, Adidas, world-class brands all exploring NFTs and also exploring the metaverse. So I think it's not one thing. It's this whole Web3 movement that continues to grow at a massive pace and a great growth rate.
And when you think about some of the blue chip S&P 500 companies that have started to delve into the space, you think of Meta, Facebook, you think of Microsoft now with Activision Blizzard. Who do you think is perhaps best positioned to be a long-term leader as we continue to build out the metaverse and shape what that could be in the future?
So Facebook's going to go about their metaverse in their way, more of a closed loop ecosystem. I think one of the things that will attract people to a metaverse environment on a blockchain, because it's open, more and more of these traditional tech companies and Web2 are having a hard time retaining the trust of the users and that of other companies, to be fair. I think what you're going to see, though, is that the gaming companies, you mentioned Activision and other AAA publishers, they're probably going to start doing a lot of things, not necessarily in what you would think metaverses, but just in pure gaming. And that's a very exciting, because you can get quality gameplay like that and imbue that with the NFTs that give you a unique character that you can carry over and then a play to earn concept around that. Then you have a very, very powerful adoption mechanism.
And in the financial services side of adoption, one of the predictions that you've discussed previously for this year is that hedge funds will begin looking to use DeFi for institutional projects. What would these projects look like, and what would this mean for the space going forward and the expansion into this?
Well, there's two ways. One, they're trying to create, with partners like ourselves, a DeFi for institutional product, where it's proper KYC, AML, et cetera. And that's super exciting, because one of the benefits that people don't realize of the decentralized finance ecosystem is the disintermediation of all the middlemen. And therefore, you can get more yield, partially just from the fact you're disintermediating people who take a piece of that reward away. The second thing that they're doing, I think, is also pretty exciting, is they're trying to figure out ways to wrap these products in a way so they can also provided for their end user. Certain operating agreements of hedge funds and VC still don't allow you to invest in tokens directly. So they're creating unique, like SPV structures and other structures that allow their end customers to participate in some of the cool stuff you see in DeFi and other things that crypto native people do.
And on one hand, there are these projects that you're talking about, and then there's also the trading that's happening in crypto. Is speculative crypto trading that's been going on, especially in the past year, alongside the meme stock frenzy that we've been seeing, is that an issue in your view? Does this create a hurdle for adoption and detract focus from these underlying projects that are taking place? Or is this just staying relatively contained in its own corner of the crypto landscape?
I think you look at the history of emerging technology, whether it be now crypto or internet stocks back in the late 90s, that speculative furor that develops around these companies really highlight two things. One, interest in users, but also the wisdom of the crowd is basically saying at some point, this is going to be here. This technology is going to be here. It may or may not be the specific companies that are existing today or back in the late 90s, but out of this group, there will be the Amazons, there will be the Googles that will pop up. So speculation is just part of any emerging technology.
So ultimately, who do you think is going to be the Amazon then, or the Google, to use that analogy? Is it going to be an existing player that you see continuing to grow and get bigger? Could it be another emerging platform that you're seeing just developing at this point? And what are going to be the features that make an Amazon or a Google to, again, use that analogy for the crypto space?
So I think this is like the third generation of crypto already. The first generation was Bitcoin. The second generation was Ethereum. And third generation has been this new group of, call it layer ones and other crypto companies that have improved upon the previous generation of technology. It's no different from, call it Friendster, MySpace, and then Facebook. I think this group of new cryptocurrency slash blockchain companies have the right timing in terms of both technology and interest from the greater populace that it's going to happen from one of these. With that said, I do believe it will be a multi-chain world. It's not going to be just one winner take all. It'd be more like kind of social media. It would be, you know, maybe a winner take most, but then you still have a whole bunch of other dedicated specialist social media platforms out there.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Ava Labs President John Wu, thank you again so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Yahoo Finance Live kicks back off tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern. Stay with us for the best in business and financial news, and of course, crypto. Have a great night.